Hey, welcome to Dogs Are Smarter Than People, the podcast that is weird, but helpful.
Just like it's helpful.
Us in real life. I'm Carrie Jones. I'm an internationally best-selling novelist and reporter, and now a podcaster. And with me, as always, is my husband, Sean Kelly Farrar. What are you, Shawnee?
A man with three names, apparently.
And that means you're going to be a murderer soon, probably.
Oh, that's right.
But every podcast, we do a random thought, and then we give you a little life help, maybe.
Usually based on a dog's advice.
And then a dog tip, right. And it's all meant to be good.
Just fun.
So chill back, relax, and maybe you'll learn something.
Or maybe you'll laugh.
Or maybe even put. Hey.
Oh, does it work like that?
Yeah, it's recording. Old people doing a podcast.
But we're not old. I'm tall in your head.
My body old.
Just because you're broken doesn't mean you're old.
You know what Sean just told me that I should be for Halloween?
You can tell everybody.
A broken-ass old lady.
But you gotta describe the costume.
In which?
Well, you don't even need a costume. You just put, like, some duct
tape.
Okay,
that's mean. That was mean.
No. I mean, you don't need a clothing costume. Unless you want to wear, like, old lady clothes, which you don't own any of. But then you, like, put some duct tape around your knee and your elbow. Maybe. Well, you need, like, a super glue label to put on a couple other joints.
That's so wrong.
You can just be a broken old lady, is what I said.
Welcome to my life.
Well,
it's romantic. He's a romantic man.
Oh, it's still daylight out, baby. You know I don't turn suave until after dark.
And then it'll be all like, let me take off that duct tape, baby.
That's you. Right. Let me see what that duct tape's hiding.
Let's see what that super glue was gluing together.
Oh, crap, it fell off.
Speaking of cuddling, there is a sky, for our random thought today, there is a Sky News story about how the bird flu outbreak could threaten U.S. cow cuddling craze. I'm so out of it that I didn't know there was a cow cuddling craze.
We're so far out of the loop that we didn't know there was a cow cuddling craze in the United States until a British news source reported on it.
The sub-headline is, an hour-long session of hugs could pay for a bale of hay, but officials are warning against the practice after an outbreak among dairy herds in 9 U.S. states.
I heard about the outbreak. You were telling me, but I didn't know this. I didn't know cow cuddling was a craze.
I knew, like, you did yoga with goats, but I didn't know that you cuddled cows.
I wonder if they wash these cows a lot. Cows normally don't really smell that great.
No, they don't, but they're so cute when you kiss them.
They're so dirty.
No, they're cute.
Just from, it's not like they're dirty animals. They're just farm animals. You know.
Yeah, well, you just give them a little bath. So a little lavender oil on the cows.
So, I'm gonna.
You didn't even listen.
I did. And just like I do to you at night. Lavender oil when we cuddle.
I wish you gave me some lavender oil because I need something.
Really?
I need something.
Well, if I use lavender oil, you'll probably fall asleep. I'll have to use maybe some Bengay.
Oh my.
Keep you awake a little bit. What? You know what
we're doing. You hurt my heart. You just hurt my heart.
It was a joke for the peeps.
It was at my expense.
No, it wasn't at your expense. It was at my expense. Because that was making me out to be a real a-hole.
So anyways, the director of Michigan's Department of Agricultural and Rural Development is quoted in the article as saying, from a human to animal health standpoint, now is not a good time to cuddle cows. This is to protect the cows and the people.
So I'm going to say that I'm about to let loose with my ignorance here.
Okay.
And is bird flu really bad for people?
They're really afraid of bird flu jumping from mammals, like pigs, especially, and cows.
To humans?
To humans, because it's a really bad kind of flu.
Yeah.
And it can devastate a population of piggies or birds or, you know, cows.
So would the humans be affected, or would they more than likely be carriers of taking it from one herd to another?
Currently, humans are just carriers, but the science is back and forth, depending on who you're reading. And some scientists are like, is this hops? If the bird flu hops to people, it's going to be really, really bad. Whereas other scientists are like, it's really probably not going to hop. Possibly ever. The scientists in the middle who think it could potentially hop, they're like, there are certain like incubator sources, like animals where it's more likely to hop from. Piggies are one of those things. Cows, they're not 100% sure. But, you know, you don't want to give everybody, you don't want to have people spreading it to other cows, right?
Can you just wear a mask? Is it transmitted that way?
I don't effing know. I am not a scientist, and I don't know any more than I've already told you. And
I
mean,
I mean, really, if you really need your cow fix, you can just buy a nice ribeye and pet that a little bit before you cook it up.
No, you're not going to get it from eating the cow.
I wasn't saying that. Oh. That was a joke about cuddling.
So, the avian influenza type A, right?
Yeah.
According to the CDC, doesn't normally infect people, but there have been rare cases in which it has. Right?
Yeah.
But there's also just like different, you know, how like COVID mutated, etc. The bird flu has also mutated as well. And there's like 6 major subtypes of it already.
Ooh.
And when those subtypes infect people, right?
Yeah.
They get really bad, like a respiratory illness, right? And of those 6 types, there's 2 types that are usually the ones that make people sick. Like, or have caused the majority of the sickness. Right. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So according to the CDC, currently there's 2 human cases of avian influenza A that have been reported, and more information is available on their website, which I'll now have to link. And there's only been 4 infections with humans from the low pathogenic avian influenza LPAI viruses, right?
Yeah.
And the current risk to the public is low.
Well, that's good.
So, don't go worrying. It's not like brain worms. We're probably going to be okay.
Until we're not.
Until we're not. Why don't we look that up, actually?
What?
Like, how did Robert Kennedy get his brain worm? Was he eating salmon that wasn't cooked? Like, what happened, you know?
That's a good question.
Because if he was, we probably have some brain worm, too.
We might. That might account for some things.
Yeah, man. Like, I don't know. It says that it entered his brain and died, but I can't find out where it came from really quickly. Oh, it might have been a pork tapeworm.
Ooh. Oh, look at that sexy
thing. Oh, my God. It looks like a penis.
Kind of does.
It totally looks like a penis.
Well, not totally, but it looks like it looks like Barney's penis.
It's called neurocytosicosis, I guess, and it's from the larva of a pork tapeworm. It's really rare, and it hospitalizes 1,000 to 2,000 people every year. And I've got to tell you, I'm more afraid of that than the bird flu.
It's undercooked pork, huh?
Yeah, it gives you seizures, headaches, blindness, blurred vision, dizziness, psychosis, or memory loss. And it can be fatal. So basically, you eat some undercooked pork. That pork has a tapeworm.
It's actually quite the process.
Then the tapeworm sheds some tapeworm eggs, right? And its stool. And contaminate food or surfaces by not washing their hands. And then people around them eat the food and touch the surfaces and accidentally swallow the tapeworm legs. Once they're swallowed, according to NBC News, again, I'll have to link this one, the eggs hatch into the larvae, which can move from the intestine to the brain. And then they form fluid-filled pockets or cysts resembling tiny clear balloons. All right, let's stop.
Wow.
Let's just stop. No, that's not. The eggs are real sticky, said Dr. Clinton White.
Oh, man. So are mine.
Oh, man. All right, let's move on.
He also said hand to mouth, I think, is important. Baby, what are we talking about today?
Well, the podcast is supposed to be about how to be happy, but now I feel like I don't know how to do that because we just talked about sticky eggs and brain worms.
Well, you like caviar, they're pretty sticky too.
I don't want them in my brain. Alright, so anyways.
You could have a little minnow flopping around in your brain.
This is called Do You Want to Be Happy? And it's a question that Sebastian Purcell asks his students every year. He's a philosophy professor. He asks them,
do you want to be happy?
And so for Purcell, being happy has a lot in common with living a good life. Sorry. Everything, I just keep thinking of sticky eggs, cuddling cows.
Well, that looks kind of like a cluster of eggs right there in your picture.
All right, so for Purcell, being happy has a lot in common with living a good life. And he writes,
the Stoic answer to this question, that the good life consists in flourishing. Word I can't pronounce, has seen a resurgent interest that is indicative of a cultural shift. Interestingly, it looks to be taking the place left open by the retreat of religious belief.
And Stoicism, it's a way to look at life and how the world connects and how they work. It's physical, Purcell says, and metaphysical. Mm. So most people think of me, Carrie, as a pretty happy person, except this week. And I possibly am. But to be fair, before I started to feel a little overwhelmed by life, I'd always thought positively about things and experienced, like, expected good outcomes, right? That's right. And when I lived in another town, I'd drive from place to place for my job as a reporter or pick up my daughter Emmy from school. And I'd hear people later say to me, you just drive around smiling. What are you even thinking about?
Naughty stuff.
Not true. And I couldn't ever tell him.
Because it's naughty.
No, because it wasn't. I just didn't know what I was thinking about. I tend not to think. And they'd scoff and I'd laugh. And I'm pretty sure one city councilor called me a weirdo because of it. And I know a baseball coach did. And it didn't matter because I was who I was. And when Emmy, our daughter, was little, she and I would talk about her worries, right? And mm-hmm. I'd run logically how outcomes were probably not what she'd expect. And I'd do that with Zane sometimes. Our other kiddo, too, when they let me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd be like, if you fail a test, will you end up in jail? Will anyone die? Because to me, those are the worst outcomes. And Emmy would always roll her eyes at me and say, like, you're being ridiculous, mommy. And I'd bounce back and say brilliantly, you don't have to expect the worst case scenarios all the time because a bad grade is not a worst case scenario. And she would be like, I'm just being realistic. And I'd be like, no, you're being pessimistic because you aren't going to fail in it anyway. Right?
Yes.
So,
still a conversation had almost daily. Just take the word grade out of it.
Stop. So the truth is that though, I've told both of these kiddos these things, and even though I motor through my day until recently pretty chill and positive, often I also flopped around in bed at night, sounds naughty, and stared at the darkness for an hour, not anymore, now I fall asleep right away, with a weird shiver of anxiety creeping through me, like anxiety stemming from things I couldn't quite place, right?
See, all that happiness keeps you awake when you go to bed.
I guess so.
She's pointless.
So that doesn't sound very happy, but the truth was that even as I smiled in my car all by myself, even as I sold positive outcomes to kids, I didn't know how to even define happiness. Like, I don't think I'd ever tried. So we're trying now.
What? Well, maybe you should stop trying, actually, as your husband. Because it was working better when you weren't trying. When you were just your natural flow state.
Maybe it was because I was just all alone in my car. And I'm an introvert.
Oh, that's right. Maybe. Right. So, I'm happy being by myself. Yeah. Thinking my naughty thoughts.
Nope. Singing along with music.
That's probably what you were doing, was singing the show choir tunes.
Probably. Really happy. So Harvard professor Arthur Brooks says what?
Happiness equals enjoyment plus satisfaction plus meaning.
You can keep talking.
Okay.
All right.
Brooks tells his students to think of happiness as,
quote,
portfolio with four big categories of investments. He says, quote, we need all of them so our happiness can grow in a balanced way. The first investment is faith or life philosophy. It's how you make sense of the world.
So families and relationships that will most likely stay with you throughout your life, though you don't choose them, that's the second category, right?
Yes.
And the third category is?
What he calls, quote, our most intimate relationships.
Or relationships we choose. And the fourth is meaningful work, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that doesn't mean work that pays us a fortune or features a fancy title. Rather, it's work that allows you to earn your success and serve others. Interesting, right?
Yeah.
So all these four categories, he says, are basically a happiness portfolio, right? You put them all together. They aren't solo acts. And you have to... There's someone mowing outside our house right now. God sure dang it. Well, my happiness portfolio is broken.
We can pause.
It's broken, man.
Wait, he's going away.
All right. So anyways.
But he'll be back.
But what he means is that you have this portfolio and you don't get to be in charge of your happiness all the time because sometimes horrible crap happens, right? Circumstances happen and they exist, and there's a hereditary factor too, right?
Yes.
And I think that I'm pretty lucky because despite all the choices I've made and she's made and the stuff she went through, my mom was a really pretty happy person.
Yeah.
And my biological father was already always happy too. And that, according to Brooks, was like 50% of what accounts for my normal base happiness.
Really?
Like your parents.
Just your upbringing?
Your parents are really fucking important. Ooh, language.
Wow.
Yeah. You can tell them
Carrie,
I'm kind of in a place.
Carrie just made this podcast explicit. Oh. I'll tell you what, folks. Mm-hmm. It took me years. Literally years, but now I've got to train to cuss like this.
He has. He's taught me to cuss.
It's been flipping it out. Cuss words have been sliding out of her mouth so much lately. I'm so proud. She's earned her cussing badge.
You can tell how unhappy I am by how much.
She's like
I
a Girl Scout with a sash, but she's trying to earn her Southern Girl status. And now she's got her cussing badge.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh.
All right. Well, you remember when I asked you, like, if your parents were happy people?
I do.
And you were like, when, now, or when I was a kid? Do you remember?
I do.
Your dad was still alive when I asked you. And then you were like, whoa. Like, you said, not really?
Yeah.
That they weren't really unhappy, but they weren't really happy. They were like, just...
And I said they were probably happier apart.
Which is... child of divorce.
When I say they weren't really unhappy, I might have been exacerbating a little bit. I mean, there was happy moments.
Yeah, but in general, like, do you think, oh, they were happy people?
Nah, well, in general, my mom is, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, like, you only know her now. But she was always pretty upbeat and stuff, but that was when it was just her and I.
Yeah. Oh, well,
you know,
couldn't be upbeat when it's just with you.
Well, that's true.
Yeah.
But I didn't mean just her and I meant when they were divorced for the first or second time. So.
So anyways, when you're thinking about your, like, background, maybe take a second, and when you're thinking about happiness, think about your parents, right? Like,
yeah.
If you know them, do you think that they were happy? Like,
I mean, if it's just a yes or no answer, then it's going to be no.
Yeah.
You know?
So Brooks says that...
approximately 50% of your happiness is inherited, and another big chunk is determined by your circumstances at any given moment. But the remaining part, about a quarter, comes from this portfolio, which is under your direct control. Another metaphor for happiness is a meal which has certain macronutrients, but instead of food's macronutrients of protein, carbohydrates, and fat... the macronutrients of happiness are enjoyment, satisfaction, and meaning. And just like you need a balanced macronutrient profile on a healthy diet, you need balance to be a happy person.
So he suggests taking a second and looking at the four pieces of your happiness portfolio. Where did that accent come from?
Where are you? The portfolio?
Yeah. So the first one is your life philosophy. Do you have one, man? Like, do you have...
No, I don't have a life.
No, you
yeah,
don't.
I do.
Do you have, like, core personal values?
Of course.
Really?
I think everybody does.
You do?
Doesn't mean they're good.
Oh.
And I'm not necessarily talking about myself.
Oh, my God, that was
But
funny.
Some people's... personal values may not align in the good category as other people's.
All right. And then the second part is your family. Are there people you can call in an emergency?
Of course. Well, you don't have much family.
I know.
I mean, you can always call me Emily, but...
Yeah, you guys count as family.
Yeah.
Friends, do you have a community somewhere? Is it a club? Is it a house? Is that school? I don't know, man.
Well, we definitely have a community.
And then, finally, purpose-filled work. Does your work, volunteer, or paid make you feel valued? And then, once you think of all those things, you think, are you happy in each of those places?
Well, you better print this out when we're done so we can run through it with a fine-tooth comb.
All right, man. I'll try to remember to do that.
What? No, I thought it could be like a weekend project for both of us.
Oh, all right. Sounds good.
We can examine our portfolio and make sure there's not a lot of high-risk stuff. Dog tip for life. Both of our dogs are currently sleeping right now. But I think that's one of their four portfolio parts. And they're happy. That's why dogs are always happy.
Because they have sleep.
I mean, dogs have to go to such extremes to not be happy.
Yeah, dogs are good.
Because there are four things that are like sleep, eat, poop, and cuddles, basically.
That's
like
you, baby.
Human interaction. That is me.
Yeah.
Oh, damn, I'm just a dog.
You are a dog. I told you today that you were a dog.
You did?
Yeah, I said you're a dog.
But what was the context?
It was naughty.
It was naughty?
Yeah.
And our dogs have adapted to my doggy ways.
I guess so, man.
Licking your inner thigh.
Okay, so the dog tip for life is basically...
Don't set your standards too high and you'll be happy. All right. All right, baby, give us a shout out.
Hey, the music we've clipped and shortened in this podcast is awesome and is made available through the Creative Commons license. Who's that artist and what's that song?
I do. We've been saying it. Summer Spleef by Broke for Free.
And we have extra content all about living happy on the livinghappy.substack.com blog, and it's pretty awesome. And we also have a writing tips podcast called Write Better Now.
They're both awesome.
But our brand new
amazing creepy podcast is Dude No. It's like that. You gotta say it like that.
He does say it like that. It's true crime with an occasional foray into the paranormal and the macabre, and it's awesome. And finally, we have a podcast.
Loving the Strange.
Which we stream live.
On Carrie's Facebook and Twitter and YouTube on Fridays, but every other Friday.
Every other Friday now, because we're lazy.
So be sure to check her Facebook and Twitter for the dates when we are going to be podcasting live and making fools of ourselves.
Live.
We're going to do a Hot Wings challenge real soon.
Oh, dear God.
And that's always a good one.
Anyways, all my Twitter handles and Facebook handles and blah, blah, blah. It's either Carrie Jones Books or Carrie Jones Book. Carrie with a C-A-R-R-I-E. Thanks for hanging out with us.
Yeah, thank you so much. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and share.
And be kind. Be kind to us old people.
Oh, yeah.